This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
Going left and right. But I want you to save this number on your cell phone, 954-966-4646. Bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation, personal injury. Welton Rayom can help you out. And folks, if you have any of this stuff happen to you before you even make the call to the insurance company, do not. You call Welton Rayom, they have their own adjusters. They will look over everything for you, and they will contact the insurance company on your behalf. Trust me, the insurance company's attention is at an all-time high when their first call from a client comes from the lawyer. When you're calling them, they're behind the scenes laughing at you because they're going to run circles around you. Because you and I are not lawyers. You and I are not judges. You and I are not prosecutors. You and I don't work in the field of law. We don't know all the laws, all the loopholes, all the tricks. Welton Rayom's been doing it for well over 20 years, and they know it. They've got beautiful offices in Hollywood. They service anywhere, really. One of our listeners in Orlando came down to hire Welton Rayom, folks. You can too. 954-966-4646. Call Welton Rayom. I hope you don't have to, but if you have any of these issues, please do not deal with the insurance companies. Let Welton Rayom, they will bring them to their knees like they did for us in our case with Progressive Insurance. Welton Rayom, 954-966-4646. Biden falls way too much. Yeah, bro. It's like we talked about this yesterday. It's like Gerald Ford. You know, this is not, it's not the first time we've had a goofball president that falls a lot. Okay. You know, it's the way it goes. I can't wait for Saturday game one. Let's effing go. I'm with you, man. I am with you. Big O, do you think that the Dolphins would include A-Chain as part of a trade with the, all right, let me move on. If Bam plays like Jimmy gets his triple-double over 25 points, Martin over 15. Martin, you're probably saying. Martin over 15 and Hero over 18. We have a good chance at the end. Everyone just has to play well. You can't give the Nuggets anything. Amen. I will go with that. I'm not going to let it go. Mark Stevens. Did you watch the head coach on the press conference for A-Chain? Did you watch it? Because if you watch that, then you would know you asked a freaking stupid-ass question. Okay? Mark Stevens? I mean a mother effing dumb ass question. Anyone hear about this kid at Virginia Tech? Ran like 990 on the 100 yard dash. Might be the fastest dude ever. No, I have no idea. Marlins could have used George Jr. on the mound yesterday. Oh man. Oh, missed the game last night. How did Bam play? Was he aggressive? Watch the highlights. Watch the game. I'm not here to be your watcher. And if you want to be a smartass, you're now on double secret probation. Just so you'll know, Troy. Okay? Just so you'll know. Double secret probation. Walking that thin line. Thin line. Really thin. That ice is pretty thin for you, buddy. You're about to fall through. Why are we still talking about Dalvin Cook? Please, Dolphins Nation, we need to move on. Until they dump him, it's going to keep being talked about. What else do we have? Nyborg. What is it? Mark Stevens. At Mark Stevens, A-Chain is more like McDaniel's guy than you know, Mark Stevens is either really stupid, completely uninformed fan that doesn't follow the team, because if anybody saw that press conference, like, Chris Greer drafted A-Chain because the coach probably told him, I need that guy. I want that guy. I have to have that guy. So, you know, it's like, it was like the most obvious thing in the world that the head coach was the guy that wanted A-Chain. He gave it away in that press conference, you know? Sorry, I'll check out the news conference. I hadn't seen it. Yeah, Mark, you're completely uninformed, bro. It just, you don't sound like, you sound like a really novice fan, a guy that's on the fringe, and you're here, which normally I count people that are here, hardcore fans, are usually pretty intelligent and know some of the basics of what's gone on. A-Chain was, my God, the reason he's here is because of McDaniel. That guy was, I think he had a cheerleader's uniform on that day in the press conference. I swear I saw pom-poms. I would like to see another linebacker added to the team, a few good ones out there. Well, we'll see. I think they might, you know, they could add another linebacker or a D lineman after a couple practices that they may not like some of the things that they have or struggle or whatever. It could happen. Oh, Mark Stevens entered the dumbest question ever asked. No. I'm not doing that to Mark. That was a dumb question. It was a really dumb question. But no, we've had worse. We've had a lot worse. Actually. Octane A-Chain, baby. I like that. Getting Higgy with it has signed. One step closer to my jersey, Big O. Kevin says on Twitter. Kevin Higgins is a I don't know if he's listening to the show. I think he listens to the show and it follows on Twitter. And so he posts on Twitter that he says that, you know, Higgy got signed. So he's like one step closer to his jersey because that's his last name too. So that's pretty cool. That's funny when the team drafts a player with your same last name and you can like go get his jersey because hell, it's his jersey and your jersey at the same time. I'll never have that luxury because they'll never draft an Alzugary. But, you know, what can I tell you? It is what it is. GP Trap is in. Good morning, Big O. Checking in this morning and hitting the like button. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Did you send Manny a link or what's the deal?
Yeah, I sent you a text. He's running late. He's dropping something off. I guess okay. He didn't receive a link, so he wasn't sure he was okay. On. So he's dropping something off. As soon as he gets back, he'll jump in.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Market is still kind of, although, by the way, the stock market is booming. Dow is up 563 points after, of course, the debt ceiling was agreed upon, like as expected. S&P up 55 points, and the NASDAQ is up a point. So you've got stocks rebounding. I would imagine that we're going to see there's the crypto market is also in the green too. Bitcoin is up, not by much. It's up 0.5% or something right now. It's over 27,000 at this point. So that's cool. Although Illuvium is exploding. Those of you that are Illuvium guys like I am, I like it. I like it. Let's see, what else do we have? There can be multiple A trains. Yeah, but no, that's A train, not A chain. So, you know, it's a whole different ball game. Big O, I'm a rookie, but I heard there were some security concerns with the Trezor wallet. I heard the same thing, but when I looked into it, it was all crap. The ones you got to worry about, I think, is the other one. The was the Nano, the one with the whole sharing of the password thing. But the Trezor, I don't think it's bogus. I don't think it's anything whatsoever that you should be concerned about. So I'm using it. I'm fine with it. I got no problem. Now I will tell you this, it doesn't hurt to have another wallet and have, like, you know, put some in one, put some in another. So you could do that. One of the things I can show you here, I got something here that I can show you in a second. That if, another one that you may want to look into is a BC wall, BC vault. Okay. So that's another one that you may want to look into as a hardware wallet. Okay. I still have the box. I haven't even thrown away the damn box. But anyway, so that would be one that I would use if I'm you. That's, you know, you could have a second wallet to kind of make yourself feel good, and you can then move things around in between wallets. And I also use what's it called? Exodus. And Exodus is also a custodial wallet too, because you get your 12 words. So I have no problems putting my coins there too. So listen, man, don't share your 12 words or 24, whatever it is. Don't ever put it online. Don't save it in an email. Don't save it on a text. Don't put it anywhere on your phone. Keep it written somewhere and protected, like in a bank and safety deposit box, you know, things like that. That's what I do. That way, if there's a fire in my house or whatever, I never lose it. It's all, you know, it's all safe. So yeah, there's just different ways that you can do things and you can protect yourself. But the Trezor thing, I looked into it. It was nothing. The Nano one doesn't look like it's a bad thing as long as you don't use the upgrade. Cause my buddies have Nano. If you don't upgrade it, then you don't ever have to worry about it and don't sign up for it and you're good. So you'll be fine even with the Nano, I think. Oh, let's go. Manny Navarro is ready with our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Canes Wear at Miami Fan Wear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Canes Wear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
The viewpoint, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
All right. How you doing, man? Are you doing good?
Doing good, brother. Just trying to handle a bunch of errands today, man. I'm going on a little mini vacation this weekend before I come back and cover the finals next week.
Okay. All right. By the way, Caddx wallet for Kadena, for any of you out there, because I see J-Town, you got my answer. But for those of you that are invested in Kadena like I am, Cadex wallet is the one that you move your Kadena off of the exchanges and into your Cadex wallet. It's also a custodial wallet. So it's a safe place so you can store your Kadena. So there you go. Anyway, I'm sure you have lots of Kadena in your digital wallet also, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Still no crypto for you, right, in your world yet, right? None, right?
No, I still haven't jumped in. Oh, I still haven't. I've been waiting to see how things pan out here.
Oh, don't worry. 5 years from now, you'll have a little crypto.
Regret it.
Yeah. You'll go, yeah, you know, you'll remember our conversations from the past at that point. All right. What do we got going on, bro? You know, I was talking about this, that the challenge to build a program is not an easy thing. And obviously we've watched Larrañaga do it and do a marvelous job of it. We've watched Pat Riley establish it 25 years ago, because I love how people talk about heat culture like it's something that popped up like a week ago or a year ago or 5 years ago, when it's like a quarter century is when that shit started, and it's been going up. And I see the Inter-Miami struggles that the Moss brothers, you know, really it's been a dysfunctional place for 4 years now. You're going on your third coach. And so Mario now obviously did not have a smooth start to his run here. What is he doing this offseason to kind of level all of that off? Because the one thing you don't want is you don't want any of the stuff that kind of went on last year to run over into this year. And this is the kind of year is kind of dangerous, Manny, because we still have those Canes fans that think that this turnaround is going to be really, really quick. And I kind of tell people, brace yourselves. I don't think this is more than a 7 or 8 win team, if anything. So I'm not expecting that much from him, but what is he doing to make sure that they're headed in the right direction, that there's no dysfunction in the way, and that there is improvement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with the people you have in your building, right? It all starts with the strength and conditioning coach. It starts with the people who are around the kids on an everyday basis when the coaches can't because of the rules. And I think, you know, he's done a good job investing. The university has done a great job investing in those people. And then it's a matter of weeding out the guys that aren't really into what you're about and recruiting the kind of guys who are into what you're about. So it's a long process. It's a never ending process. And I think, you know, the one thing that's really difficult for these coaches is when you operate in the transfer portal, you really don't know what you're getting. Right. Terry Roberts is sort of a perfect example. He's a kid who they picked up from Iowa that was a graduate transfer, a cornerback. They brought him in this spring. They thought, OK, this is a guy who's played in a good program at Iowa. I was always putting guys in the NFL left and right. And I think he comes down here and he's not the guy that they thought he was. And so he's back in the transfer portal and he's gone. Meanwhile, you know, the high school kids, again, you're doing the best evaluation you can. You're trying to get these kids on campus as many times as possible. You're trying to get them to come to your camps to do workouts in front of you. You're trying to get somebody out there to keep an eye on them during the season. But you're not always going to hit. You're not always going to really know the character of this kid. And so it's a long process establishing all of that at the same time, right? Having the right people in the building in terms of the adults and the educators and the coaches and the trainers and all that stuff. And then it's figuring out, okay, are these the right kids, right? And identifying that early in the high school ranks and through the transfer portal. It's a tough process, but you go through it and you keep perfecting, you keep molding it until you get it right. And it's only been, 18 months that he's been here now. And while some coaches can have a lot of success right away, and I know that's the easy thing for us to point to, right? Everybody points to USC. And they say, look at what Lincoln Riley did. Well, Lincoln Riley had some really good players that he inherited to begin with. And then he ends up bringing in Caleb Williams, who's the Heisman Trophy winner. So it's easy to look really good when you've got special players and a strong foundation. I don't know that Mario walked into the same situation here. So everything goes differently. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but I do think the right guy is running the program for Miami.
I do too. I just hope we have patience because it's just a messy inherited. And I have friends, dude, that think they're going to win 9 or 10 this year. And I'm like, brother, I get it. You're going to want to fire Cristobal at the end of the year, basically, because that's what happened to those people. Because it happens with fans. They put unrealistic expectations. And then when your team doesn't meet your unrealistic expectations, you think it's their fault they didn't meet your unrealistic expectations. And so I don't know. You tell me, are you getting the same kind of vibe too from people that they're, Manny, there's going to be drastic improvement this year and all that kind of stuff. I think there'll be slight improvement. I don't know if we can go drastic here.
Yeah, I don't think you can either. Oh, I think, again, he got rid of a bunch of coaches on this staff that he realized once he brought him in here. Like I told you this was one of the first conversations we had when they hired Mario. I said, you know, one thing that he expressed to me is, look, I've been on the West Coast all these years. I've been running an entirely different program. I've been recruiting an entirely different area. You have to kind of, even if this is home, if you're operating in another part of the country, to come back here and be around here and understand the high school coaches, understand the local landscape, understanding the kids, how much they've changed. Understanding what he inherited, that's a difficult situation to be in. When he was at Oregon, he had a lot of things that were in place. There was all that Nike money that was helping funnel. They were in a weak conference in the Pac-12 with USC being down. He was in an easier situation than the one he inherited here. And now the landscape of college football has changed even more in the sense where the SEC and Big Ten, it's not a Power 5 anymore. It's really a Power 2. And so, you know, you have John Ruiz who's helping you in the beginning, right, with NIL. He's going through his own issues. You kind of need to build an NIL initiative. Finally, that's getting off the ground and going. Like, it's a changing landscape. And I think for anybody to just think that, well, because he's Mario and he won a bunch, you know, he won 2 national championships here as a player and coached FIU and did a good job at FIU, he's going to walk in the door and it's going to be instantaneous, you're bleeping crazy. Like, that's not there's been a lot of other guys who've been in charge of this program for 20 years that haven't gotten it done. Mark Richt got it done for 1 year. Right. I think the sample size is the exception.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, fluke years happen all the time in all kinds of sports, and that's kind of what happened with Mark that year. That was kind of a flukish year when it's all said and done. All right, so you know we're deep into the off season when, you know, I go to The Athletic and we're talking about the Mark Light shake and how it became legendary. And it is legendary. It is absolutely delicious. So tell us a little bit about that story you wrote. And drank, right? I'm sure they gave you when you're writing it.
I'm diabetic now, so I can't be having Mark Light shakes every day like some of these SID do that come here on their visits and play-by-play broadcasters who tell me they had 4 or 5 shakes in the 3 days that they were here. I think I would probably keel over and die. But I've had a few in my lifetime in all the years that I've been here in Florida, gone to the stadium, and they're fabulous. And I think the interesting thing for me with that story is that the guy who's created these shakes and has been doing the shake, been doing it for 38 years. Mark Friedman, his son actually works with CBS Sports as an executive producer, Andy Friedman. He's got another son who's involved with the soccer TV rights. So, but he loves making milkshakes for people, man. He loves, you know, just being at the stadium, being a part of that concession stand. And Ron Frazier brought him in 1986. Ron Frazier, right after they won their second national title, was kind of fed up with the concession stands he had and decided, okay, I'm gonna get a couple local guys to run this thing for me. And the local guy called up Mitch Friedman, and said, Mitch, come in here and do this thing. And he's done it ever since. And he's come up with all these creative shakes. I don't know if you've seen the tweet for this weekend of the brisket shake for Texas, the Tabasco for Louisiana, and then the lobster shake for the main Black Bear playing here. So just, you know, look, if college baseball to me, I don't think most of us pay attention to it really, unless there's a rivalry series, right? Unless the Canes are playing the Gators or they're playing the Seminoles. Until
the College World Series, bro. That's when we start paying attention.
until these regionals take place and like, you know, did Miami win? What's going on? That's when everybody starts to pay attention. So I just wanted to write this story on these shakes because to me, whenever anybody I talk to nationally comes down to South Florida, they say, hey, do I have to go to the stadium to get the Mark Light shake? And I'm like, yes, that's the only place you can get these shakes. They don't sell it at Hard Rock Stadium. They don't sell it at whatever it is, the Watsco Center, whatever the hell it's called now. You know, they don't sell it anywhere else. And I asked Mitch, I said, Mitch, why aren't you selling this thing elsewhere? And he's, look, man, it's really expensive to run a concession stand. And people don't want to give you a break. It's not financially worth my while. So he's got his reason. If you want warm shakes, head over to the regional today, man. There's going to be some good baseball going on.
No doubt about that, man. And what Frazier built years ago, and that guy was always ahead of everybody else, man. He was always forward-thinking. Yeah. And thanks to him, his impact has lasted forever, man. God bless Ron Frazier, man. God bless the Wizard.
And look how long it took. Look how long it took him to win a national title, right? I mean, he was there, I think, since 69 or something like that. He didn't win the first one till 82. So 13 years when you have and that's one of the guys that's the best to ever do.
And in today's world, his ass would have been fired 8 times over by year 5.
Exactly. And think about all those Heat fans who wanted Eric Spoelstra done, right? When the Heat struggled after LeBron left. And, right? It was his fault. Look.
Two trips to the
finals with Jimmy Butler and a cast of nobodies.
Yeah. What an amazing. I'm telling you, he's David Copperfield of basketball coaches. He's so good, he fools his front office. He's so good. He made Whiteside, and then they said, well, no, let's sign him a long-term deal because it's going to be something good. And you know, he got 29 games out of Deion Waiters at 29. Those 29 games he's never played like in his life. James Johnson played out of his mind. Eric Spoelstra fools everybody, including the people in the front office, and he makes everything look a lot better than what it really is. And then when you go and try to look for the substance, boy, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in there. And he does it constantly. Really? Constantly.
It's amazing. He might be the greatest coach of all time in South Florida history. And I love Don Shula and what he did for the Dolphins, but I don't think Don Shula could turn, you know, some of these dudes into this, right? Like
Hold on a second. We got to give him credit because the Woodstock year is kind of one of these years.
That is true. He did have the Woodstock years, correct.
Okay, so the Woodstock year was pretty magical. And not only that, that year he also had to coach Scabs. Yep. And in those five or six games, whatever it was, we were actually one of the better teams in the NFL. We were the least penalized again. It didn't matter what you had. His teams were going to be more disciplined than anybody else out there. And I believe we got Lifford Hobley from that group. That's kind of a year where he kind of did what Eric has been doing. I said this a few weeks back. Eric Spoelstra already passed Pat Riley as in what he's done in the Heat. Not overall. We know what overall Riley's one of the greatest. But if you run Riley's Heat tenure and Spo's Heat tenure is more impressive.
Agreed. 100%. Right?
100%. Can't do anything about it, bro. Can't do anything about it. All right, follow him on Twitter at Manny _ Navarro. And, of course, catch his work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe like I do, and you can get all the great stories, insight, and a little shake, too, at the same time. Manny, enjoy the shake. Enjoy the weekend, my friend. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Take care, man.
You got it. There you go, Manny Navarro. And, by the way, Caneswear, come on, man. We got the Panthers in the finals. You can go get this hat there. You saw the T-shirt I was wearing yesterday for the Miami Heat. I bought the Panthers polo, that blue polo that they have. It is just, wow, dude. I can't wait to wear that shirt out. maybe this weekend I'll wear it somewhere. That hat, you can buy the gas station hat there also. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. Pucks. Didn't you buy a puck also? They've got pucks. They've got all kinds of things for Stanley Cup. See, there's a Stanley Cup puck. They've got all kinds of stuff. Rats, you name it, shirts, all that, man. So if you want to get Heat gear, you want to get Panthers gear, Dolphins gear for the upcoming season, Canes, they've got anything and everything with the Canes logo on it. Go see Brett and Jeff and all the amazing people at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. And if you don't live in town and you're watching from outside somewhere, you can actually go online at caneswear.com. And at caneswear.com, they've got all the same things in the store right there online. And you can pick and choose anything you want. And when you order over $99, you will get free shipping. Go to caneswear.com.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
All right. Kenshawn, you got to stop already, bro. You had Bitcoin going down to 10,000. Remember? I don't forget that. Okay? You have zero credibility here, my man. Okay? I appreciate you tuning in and talking sports. Don't tell me anything about business and investments. I have zero respect for you when it comes to that. And I'm saying with a completely serious face, I am not joking. I have zero respect for you when it comes to crypto. You know nothing about this. You write a lot of bullshit and it's completely wrong. Okay? All right? We cool now? We understand? So there will be no bet, no nothing, because you have no credibility, my man. Okay? You've given many, many bad predictions already. You and Tremolio is the other one that doesn't show up anymore, but he was another one that made all kinds of crypto predictions and knows nothing about crypto. Okay? And he says he's a day trader, and maybe he is, but I know he doesn't know shit about crypto, and you don't know shit about crypto. So you lost me already. Put it that way. You've lost me already. Like, I see it, and when I see that you're talking Bitcoin, I'm like done. I'm moving on to the next question, just so you'll know. So I just wanted to send it out to you to just kind of tell you that you're wasting your time now when you're talking to me about crypto. I'm dead serious. Like, freaking dead serious. Zero respect for you. Okay? I think you're a fucking clown when it comes to talking about crypto. Put it that way. Okay? Because I take it serious and I follow it. So I just think you're just a buffoon when you're talking about crypto. Okay? We cool? We good? Omar said yesterday he sees Raekwon Davis a more 4-3 defensive tackle. Do you envision Fangio possibly using him? Like, no, they run a 3-4, dude. They're not going to run a 4-3. When you play two down linemen in front of Phillips and Chubb on the edges. This is a year where Raekwon Davis has to prove that, one, he's worth the draft pick, which he has not proved that yet. And then two, he's got to win Fangio over to stay here for next year. This is the problem when you add a new coach. There's a transitional year where some players may not fit. Some players may not be good enough. And so you kind of got to deal. And I'm not saying Raekwon is, but it's going to happen. You know, Brandon Jones may not be good enough in coverage the way he needs him to be. You understand? So while I like Brandon Jones a lot and I thought he was improving in coverage, in Fangio's system, from what I understand, you've got to be like really good in coverage in almost every position out there. And so if Brandon is not up to snuff, and I know he's coming back from an injury, which, poor kid, that makes it harder for him, then that might be where we might see some inconsistencies in that position, or he has to find somebody else to play that spot. And then defensive tackle is the same thing. If you don't fit what he needs, then you're going to have to switch things around. And then you're in a transitional year, and then by next year in the offseason, that's when you're actually trying to draft somebody, trade for somebody, because Raekwon didn't fit, or Fangio didn't like him, or for whatever reason. And then now you've got to replace him. So that's the tricky part when you bring in a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. There are some guys on there that you just can't get rid of right away, and you have to either find out if they fit or they don't fit. And that's kind of where we're at right now with certain guys, and Raekwon is one, and Brandon Jones is another. Like, I know the other safety, Holland, fits any scheme you want. Ramsey and X fit any scheme you want. You know what I'm saying? So it's different for those kind of guys. But in the safety spot, Brandon was trying to improve in the area that you need to excel in with Fangio. And so Raekwon, we're going to find out. Does he fit what Fangio wants to do? Does he produce like Fangio wants? Well, no. We shall know. Big O is on a tear today. Nah, not on a tear. It's just, you know, it's funny to, you know, when people talk to me about something that I follow and know a lot about, and then you're constantly wrong and you're telling me stupid shit. Oh, no, Bitcoin's going to go down to 10,000. No, dude, it never went down to 10,000. You know what I mean? So it's like, whatever, bro. And I get it. It's like that blind ass fan. You guess enough, at one point you'll guess it right. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you know anything. And for me, Kenshawn doesn't know jack shit. He talks a lot of shit, posts a lot of stuff, and none of it ever comes true. So, you know, it's like, dude, you don't even really invest in it. That's what I love. The people that are telling me about this, they don't even invest in it. They just want to be negative about it. That's all. And it's always negative. He never really brings in anything positive. He never says, hey, you know, this is going to happen and this is good. So you can always tell the trolls and the fools that really don't follow or invest in it. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what's going on, you know. Now, am I like a genius that I can predict when it's going to go up or when it's going to go? Of course not. Nobody knows. You know, you can only invest. You can only do your homework and figure out what companies you like and don't like. And then you got to live with your decisions and hope that they work out. But, you know, if you're going to talk to me about crypto, then, brother, make sure you know what the hell you're talking about. Because I'm going to know right away if you don't. And I know what you are then. I know what you're just trying to be, you know, a smartass. And then when you're trying to be a smartass, well, then I can be a bigger smartass. Like with Troy Ortiz. And he tried to be a smartass. You know. Let's see. George says, Big O, just my opinion here. At this point, the only thing that can bring Bitcoin back down to 10 grand would be another Black Swan event. Pray it never happens. Yeah, it would be a world war. It would be the deficit ceiling not being raised and we crash. Yeah, dude, of course, lots of things could do, you know, like catastrophic things, Black Swanish. Like, hell yeah. Could happen to anything, of course. But eventually, the mining rate is going up. The hash rate has exploded to a point where it's at levels that it's never been at. The exchanges are at all-time lows with Bitcoin, that they're running out of Bitcoin, where everything is getting hodled. Whales are continuing to swallow Bitcoin and hold it. The Lightning Network just expanded to, I forgot how many countries. Mallers was talking about, from 2 to like 40 countries all over the place. I think, I don't know how many billions of people now, I think it's like 2 billion people or something have access to the Lightning Network or something ridiculous like that. So you're talking about an enormous amount of growth that's happening. China and Japan were just now finally, they're allowing their citizens to get involved in Bitcoin. So now in the next couple of months here, you're going to see another pump coming from Asia. Now the cryptocurrency exchanges there are getting their licenses and getting ready to do business. And then I believe in China, you may have to be the individuals, human beings like you and me, you have to be, I think, approved to then buy crypto. And then they limit you to certain cryptos that you can buy, which are the major ones, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Avalanche, Cardano, Litecoin, you know, like some, just the major ones. I mean, if you know about all this stuff, which a guy like Kenshan doesn't know shit about, the everything is there for you, that you can see that the roadmap is being laid out. Okay. Adoption is growing every single day. More and more people are using Bitcoin on a daily basis, right? More and more holders are coming into the ecosystem. It only goes up, the amount of holders. The amount of holders with 0.1 Bitcoin, which is not even one Bitcoin, just 10% of a Bitcoin, has gone through the roof. The amount of people that hold one Bitcoin is at an all-time high. You know, the amount of people that own 10 or more Bitcoin continues to be at an all-time high. Everything tells you that it's headed in the right direction. Banks around the world are now starting to see the light because they're dying and they're adding cryptocurrency to their portfolios. And they're allowing their customers to buy cryptocurrency through their banking systems and all that kind of stuff. Fidelity is one of the biggest banks in the United States. They are creating their own cryptocurrency exchange. I mean, you know, it's just, it goes on and on. I have so many examples I can talk about and educate you on the growth of what's going on with crypto and Bitcoin. It's ridiculous. It can only go one way, and that's a skyrocket way, like parabolic. That's all. It's just a matter of time, but people don't have patience. That's all it is. And people just want to, you know, wish the worst. But the bottom line is fiat currencies all over the world are caving in and falling because our fractionalized banking system does not work here and it doesn't work anywhere else in the world. And that's why eventually everything is going to go to shit and they'll go to digital currencies, and then Bitcoin and Ethereum and many others are going to be used as currency throughout the world. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. And I get it. Some people don't want change or refuse to adapt to change. This one is going to run you over if you choose to avoid it or be indifferent. It's not going to pay off for you. That's all. So when I have people that try to tell me something about Bitcoin when they know nothing about it, like Kenshan, and, you know, what can I tell you, man? It is what it is. Trust me, Big O. Everyone wants Bitcoin to go down to buy more, including myself. Yeah, but that's not what the other ones. They're not thinking of that. They're just trying to be, you know, Mr. Negative. By the way, check your local gas station. Bitcoin ATMs ain't going anywhere. I know. That's growing, too. Big O, my friend asked me, how would you be able to access your cryptocurrency in a massive power grid failure scenario as opposed to having gold and silver bars on hand? Just curious. Ask your friend, where's his gold and silver bars? Does he have them in his house? Because if there's a major shutdown, aren't they in a bank inside a vault? So if there's major electricity and computers and all, you will not access your banks at all. You know that, right? Just wondering. And by the way, what are you going to do? Carry your gold around like back in the 1800s? You know what they're going to do? Pull out a gun and knock your ass out and steal your gold. And how are you supposed to do that? Are you going to... So it's a major crisis. Electricity's gone down, which is, you know, complete bullshit, of course, because, you know, we have solar. We have all kinds of ways to get back on the internet. We have generators. We have all kinds of stuff. But, you know, whatever your friend wants to do. Okay, so we have a major power outage. So he's walking around with a gold bullion, right? So what's he doing? Shaving off a piece here. Here is, oh, let me go to Burger King. Here, let me shave off a piece of gold for you. Really? Is that what he's doing? Come on, bro. You know, that's the stupid shit that people ask, that it's like, I got to go Scarface on you. Get your head out of your culo. The day there's one of those things, everything is done. And it puts you in a disadvantage. But if you have digital currency and if you have your, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be there and no one can take it away from you. You have your 12 words, you have your custodial wallet, it's all locked in. Now, you use CBDCs, the government can control how you spend your money, where you spend your money. Oh, they can even put a time limit on your money, that you have to spend it by this date or it expires. Yeah, wait for digital currency by the government. That's going to be really good, sir. And I can't wait to watch you with your gold bullion. Walking around. Oh, I gotta go put gas. Yeah, let me break off a piece of. Here you go for. Her. Yeah, no, gold bullions and silver walking around. Yeah, that's gonna really. And by the way, does your friend also have like a little brown bag with a rope also? Carrying around his gold and his silver, is he hanging around with Robin Hood? And his Merry Men? Is he gonna live also in a treehouse? Can we be more ridiculous? Metals are a hedge on economic hardship, not for barter and trade. This is not Mad Max. No, but think about it. Won't digital currency by the government make other cryptos worthless? With regulations, if you can only buy you, no, they won't. And they won't be able to do that, my man. They won't be able to do it. See, the difference is the CBDCs are just like the dollar. They'll just print more and more and more and more. So all your money in your savings account is buying less and less and less. So if you're getting 1% or 0.5% or 1/3% or 2% or whatever on something, and inflation's at 5%, you're not gaining a goddamn thing, okay? And then all they do is print more and more money, which if you print more and more money, it's valued less. There's only 21 million Bitcoin. That's it. Once all of them are mined and we're under 2 million less left to mine, once they're gone, that's it. There will be no more printed. There can't be any more printed. That's all. The value is only going to increase. That can't happen with digital currency because it's not limited. It's unlimited. That's where people don't really understand what's going on. The rest of the world is getting way ahead of us on digital currency and Bitcoin. Way ahead of us. Because of our Democratic government, which is really stupid and they don't understand it. And I don't care about Democrats or Republicans. Again, I got to keep repeating it for you idiots out there. But the morons that we currently have in place, they want to control you with CBDCs, right? And they've made so much money through the banking systems that they're married to the banking systems. So they don't want Bitcoin because they can't control Bitcoin. They want to control you, but they can't with Bitcoin. So stop listening to the Elizabeth Warrens of the world. She's only spewing misinformation because she's as dirty as it gets. Just like Trump and just like Biden and just like, they're all dirty. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Stop being naive out there. Are you familiar with CASPA? I am familiar. I don't know enough about it. I'm not invested in it, but I've heard a lot about it. Let's see. Can the government tax you on cryptocurrency? Yes, they can. Of course. Once you it's like a stock. Once you've made profits, then you pay taxes for sure. But that's everywhere. That's normal. If you've made an investment and you make profits on that investment, you get taxed on that investment. Once, remember, you only win or lose in investing stocks or crypto or anything when you sell. So if you sell too low, then you lose your money. If you sell high, you make money. That's the way it goes. If you don't sell, you're not making any money. You're not losing any money. You're staying steady and you can't get taxed. You get taxed once you cash in. Okay. Or you get tax break when you cash out and you lose. Because if you lose, then obviously that helps you out a little bit too, because that goes against your winnings there. Let's Big O stash all the cash in a huge honking mattress. That's it. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I withdrew every coin when they emailed me the IRS was coming. That's your problem. Game two for the Heat should be more like game six. I think I'll lose confidence if they lose Sunday. I don't have a ton of confidence in the series, to be quite honest. I think Denver is better, and I picked them Denver in six. But I said this earlier, if they don't win on Sunday, they got no shot in this series. None. It's over. And I know it's not, but I don't see the Heat winning four of the next five after that. I think it's impossible. All right, let's take a quick break. Hour number three, and Cameron Wolf is next.